But you know what? Guess what?
Yes, we are really honored right now to, and I'd like to introduce this gentleman, the only person to ever have jumped out of a helicopter on a skateboard, the only person to jump the Great Wall of China on a skateboard, and so many other things, the greatest skateboarder ever. Let's welcome Danny Way to the show. Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. I'm Dave Isaac, the host. We have Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac in studio. And I got to tell you, Danny, you know, and we're going to talk about your movie that's coming out tomorrow, Waiting for Lightning. But I saw your jump over the Great Wall of China. I couldn't believe it. Can you just talk a little bit about that at first? It was remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy fantasy I had. I was down in China exploring some factories to make some parts for a skateboard, and I'd flown over the Great Wall, flying into Beijing, and then flying home, I was looking at the magazine on the seat back in the Air China magazine, and then there was a picture of the Great Wall, and just prior to that, I had built a ramp to break some world records, and one was the distance jump on a skateboard horizontally, and then the vertical height out of a half pipe or a vert ramp, we call it. So anyways, I did that out in the desert, and it was really hard, you know, for anybody to really get an appreciation for the magnitude of it. So I started thinking, well, could I build something like this in a, you know, an interesting spot? And that kind of stood out at me a few times. And so I started throwing, kicking it around in a few of the marketing meetings we had at DC Shoes and with my manager. And little by little, we started chipping away, and it became real quicker than I thought. I didn't think it would actually become a reality that we would have permission to do something like that in China.
Yeah, well, you know, Danny, you've lived such an inspiring life, and I'm sure that we'll probably ask you some more questions about this. But, you know, I have seen the film, and it was outstanding how Jacob was able to talk with you very intimately and get you to share these things about your life. Was that at all difficult?
Absolutely. In some ways, yes. And in some ways, I kind of feel good talking about some of it because, you know, I feel it's kind of, you know, healthy to, you know, to move some of these things, and it feels good to not have to, like, keep it bottled up. But for the most part, you know, Jake and I have a pretty deep friendship that goes way beyond making this film. It goes back into our childhood. Met him at skate camp when we were kids. So we worked on tons of skate videos over the years, just making skateboarding films. And then Jake went on to move to Hollywood and went to school for directing, you know, and eventually started his own company, which is Bandito Brothers. And, you know, they just put out that film, Act of Valor. They put out a bunch of amazing documentaries, Step in the Liquid, Ride the Riding Giants, and Dust the Glory. There's a list of them. But Jake, you know, and I met up a few years ago and you know, wanted to collaborate on a project. And, you know, the idea of doing this documentary came up, and Jake had been archiving footage, you know, my career and some of my personal life since I've been, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, and all the way up until now. So, you know, we never planned to do a documentary, but we had all of this archive footage of all of these different events that happened, and, you know, and whatever the drama was that unraveled in the midst, we captured it all. And, you know, combined with some of the stuff Jake knows about my personal life, he thought he could create a compelling film that, you know, breaks beyond the walls of the skateboarding world and makes it appealing or interesting for anybody, you know, that potentially could see the movie that could relate to some of these scenarios, skateboarding or not.
Now, Danny, I haven't seen the film yet, but just wondering, I know they were before your time a bit, but the Z-Boys out of Venice Beach and Stacy Peralta, some of those guys, if any of them were sort of an influence on you beginning to skateboard as a kid.
Absolutely. I skated for Stacy's team when I was a kid. It's called the Bones Brigade. He just put out a documentary on the Bones Brigade. It just came out, I think, about a month ago. So it's kind of the sequel story to the Dogtown Z-Boys story. You know, in the 80s, he recreated his own team called the Bones Brigade that kind of mirrored that same model as the Z-Boys. And, you know, Tony Hawk was obviously a big part of that team and other big legends within the sport. But when I was a kid, I was a part of that team. So, Stacy was always a big influence on skateboarding and definitely had a major impression on me as a kid. especially being a part of his team.
And what's interesting now is that now people look up to you. I mean, you looked up to them, and now people are looking up to you. What advice do you have for young people who may be going through hard times or may just want to break into skateboarding or is professional anything? What kind of advice do you have?
Well, I mean, I always say that you have to start with having belief in yourself and having confidence and not having doubt, and to believe that no challenge is too great, regardless, if you win the challenge or not, the attempt is a win to me. So I say that, you never give up, believe in yourself, and if you have a dream, then pursue it. And, you're your own worst enemy, and, the only one that can stop you is yourself, really.
Yeah, that's so true. And I've heard you quoted as saying, release the fear of death and you start to live. Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, most people, live with anxiety throughout their whole lives, wondering when that moment's going to happen. And, I think that once you come to terms with it's a fact that we all go through this transitional phase of, from before life to birth to life to death and then wherever else we go beyond that. So, I mean, it's just part of the journey is that death experience. So I just think that once you come to terms with, being real and understanding that that's not a bad scenario, that actually is probably a beautiful experience, then you can, I feel, live a little bit more. You're not in fear or worried that day is a negative day, If it happens, it should be a positive experience because, the journey doesn't end there, I don't think.
And Danny, you've accomplished a ton. Obviously, as I see here, you won your first contest that you entered at age 11, as well as numerous gold medals with the X Games. Is there one accomplishment, though, that stands out more than anything else?
I don't necessarily think one, outweighs the other because they all have different components of different things that happen, within those different scenarios that I'm proud of that most people might not even know, but I would say, there's a lot of things that went into making the China thing happen. And, I think it was a culmination of a lot of years of, not just from my skateboarding career, but it took, evolving a company to a certain point to be able to have the resources to make something like that happen. And I was a part of that project as well. So I would say that, which is DC Shoes. And I think that was just a pinnacle within my career where I felt like I had, hit a benchmark that I didn't ever foresee happening, I had a fantasy about it, but, skateboarding has come so far in the last decade or even in the last 20 years as far as it's, being an organized sport and being a profession and, the amount of people that are involved in it these days and how big the industry has gotten. The possibilities are a lot bigger than they used to be. So anyways, that's, I'm very grateful to have been a part of something. So, awesome, I would have to say.
And Danny, it just amazes me how you really don't have any fear because I saw you also jump out of a helicopter on a skateboard. Describe what that is like.
Well, I mean, I love helicopters, by the way. I'm very fascinated with them, and I've been flying. I'm trying to get my license to fly one right now, actually. But that aside, I didn't ever have much experience around a helicopter prior to me jumping out of the helicopter into the ramp. So I didn't know if the downdraft or any of these things would be a variable. And the first time I did it, it happened on a whim. It wasn't something that I had sought out to do. We had built the ramp and I was trying to break a world record, which I was successful in doing that. And that day that we were doing that, we had a helicopter there. We were trying to film from the helicopter to get these different angles. And it was hovering above the ramp at one point. And, somebody, I don't know who said it, was like, "Whoa, look at the helicopter above the ramp." And I was like, "Whoa, you could jump off the helicopter into the ramp probably, like just joking." And next thing I know, one of my buddies was over there talking to the pilot and then spotlight was on me, and they're like, "All right, let's see you do it." And I'm like, "Oh God, I got to do this now." So anyways, that worked out. And then MTV had called me and wanted me to reproduce that stunt at the Hard Rock in Vegas, and I did reenact it, but had a mishap in the midst of it, and actually dislocated my shoulder and tore a bunch of ligaments, and made it happen after I did that. But I had to have surgery the following Monday morning, and my shoulder's been a little bit shaky ever since. But the helicopter jump—that's the story.
Oh, that's incredible. Now, a couple other things. If you still have a few minutes here, is that you hold the land speed world record on a skateboard, and it looks like 74.5 miles per hour?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's guys that have gone faster that haven't documented it, you know, correctly, I guess, but I didn't go out. That was for my friend Rob Dierick. He has that show on MTV called The Fantasy Factory and Ridiculousness, and Rob's one of my good friends that I've grown up skateboarding with, and he's always trying to find different things to do on his show that include skateboarding because that's his number one passion and love. So anyways, we came up with the idea. We thought it would be it was more of a joke than anything because he has this little three-wheel car thing he calls a T-Rex. I don't know if you guys know what a T-Rex is, but it's a real fast little race car that he has. And anyways, he was like, let's see if we can tow you with the T-Rex and get you up to 100 miles an hour. And I was like, well, I'll try and go 100, but I don't know if that's possible. So we went out to the airport and did it on a runway, and I got up to 74 miles an hour, but I'd never tried to go that fast before, so I didn't know if I had the right equipment. The boards were, you know, I was in R&D phase all day trying to figure out what the formula on the board should be. So anyways, long story short, that was somewhat of a joke. We went out there to kind of, you know, have fun with it. It wasn't too serious, and I got 74 miles an hour, which happened to be the fastest recorded speed record, but it wasn't the goal, and I think I could go faster if I took it more serious.
That is just incredible. Now, just two more questions. One is, you know, motorcycles. And if you think of motorcycles and you think of people that have gone beyond the limits of a motorcycle, you might think of a guy named Evel Knievel or Robbie Knievel, the son. Have you ever met Robbie?
I haven't met Robbie, but I briefly met Evel Knievel at an event in L.A. before he passed away, which was pretty awesome. But I haven't met Robbie, no.
So is there any similarities on the thinking style between what they've done on motorcycles and what you do with skateboards?
Maybe on, you know, on some aspects, but I would say that, you know, I'm not looking to hurt myself and or become a spectacle for people to see some guy throw himself to the air and smash himself into pieces and get rushed to the hospital. That's not my intention. I like to try and succeed when I do these things. So I really do, you know, look into the history of what I've done and gather as much information and try and get as accurate, you know, with the formula as possible so that it does work out. And I've had pretty good success, and not everything I've done has been a failure and or, you know, I've walked away or not been able to continue on because I had to walk away too early with too much injury. But for the most part, you know, I would say that we do share similar, you know, we take similar risks, but I would say that I want to say that might be a little more calculated on the stuff that I'm doing. I think that Robbie and Evel Knievel were a little bit more daredevils. They were, you know, would try things that had a lot more uncertainty, you know, because there was a lot less unknowns. I'm doing, you know, something that's a progression of what I've done for years. So I know at one point Evel Knievel even tried to jump, you know, Snake River in a rocket car.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? I remember that.
How much experience in a rocket car did he have before that?
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this, Danny. What does the future look like for you coming up? What's on your agenda?
Well, you know, I have a skateboard company called Plan B Skateboards, and we have some pretty big superstars on our team, R. Rodriguez, Ryan Sheckler, and Torrey Pudwell, and PJ Ladd, and we have a few other. The list goes on, but we're making a skateboard movie for my skateboard company right now, which is more about skateboarding and not so much a personal story, but it's, you know, it's a very important piece of marketing material that, you know, that we put out every few years to, you know, to progress the skateboarding world, and this video is on track to do that. And after that, I'm working on a project with DC Shoes right now to try and push some of those records that I currently have a little further in the next year or so. So that's something I would like to do. It's been a little while since I've taken a shot at those, and I think the time is now that those need to be elevated to a new level.
Wow, that is so cool. A lot of good stuff happening. I'll tell you, Danny, you're an inspiration to all of us. And for someone to push beyond perceived limits, I think more. You know, you really are a good role model for people in every single type of industry, life in general. Everyone should be trying to go above their self-imposed limitations. And we encourage everyone to absolutely see your movie coming out, Waiting for Lightning. And Danny Way, thank you so much for calling in today.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, it was real honor, Danny. And, again, it's on demand. Beginning tomorrow and also exclusively at Harkins Valley Arts. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it, you guys. Have a good afternoon, and we'll talk hopefully again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Danny Way. That was fantastic. I always love people to that can push beyond their limits. Here's a guy, and I like what he said about the difference between him and Robbie or Evel Knievel, because I was always wondering about that. It's calculated, and that's smart. That's a smart way to go. And he is an inspiration. I can't wait to see this movie, actually.
Yeah, I think you'll really like it.
It's amazing. Yeah. And also, when he did the helicopter drop, obviously with the dislocated shoulder that he got in an earlier attempt at it. So it's
phenomenal.
Amazing. Yeah.
A great credit to the world, I think.
I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, to checking some of this out and seeing the drop on YouTube that you saw.
I did. I saw it. And why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we will continue with the magazine. Joseph Erdo in the house with Greg Isaac. More movie reviews and some clips from
The Collection. We'll talk about a little more about The Collection.
All right. And we'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.